There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And on today's episode, someone extra shows up while the family rents a cabin. A listener's family has visits from dead loved ones, but she only has visits from her pets. Could a nightmare during a stay in a hotel actually be a vision of what had previously happened in that room? And a listener feels there's a protective spirit that resides on his grandparents' farm. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
I'm wearing sunglasses.
Yeah, you are.
So my normal glasses are up in my truck.
Okay.
And I just realized that as the show started, and I'm like, I don't have my backup pair. Those are in my truck, too. Because normally I could just reach over and grab those, but one day I needed those, so I'm going to wear sunglasses on today, so I'm going to be like one of those real bad DJs from the 80s that wore sunglasses in the studio all the time. Can I talk like one, too? Just for the fun of it? Just for the show?
No, it's obnoxious enough that you're wearing sunglasses, so no.
Well, they're prescription sunglasses. It's not like it's just for fun.
I know. It's just, it's a dark office anyway.
It is.
Hard for you to see?
No, I can see the screen fine.
Okay.
So I'll have a headache at the end of the show if I don't wear them.
I don't want to hear you whining about that.
So I'm going to wear the sunglasses. You can hear Jenny whining about me wearing sunglasses instead of me whining about
it. I will drop it right now.
There you go. All right. So that's today's episode here on Real Ghost Stories Online. Looking forward to that. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Hopefully your phone doesn't flip out like it just did right before we started. It's like, there's a precipitation warning in your area. There's a heavy precipitation. I'm a meteorologist and I know what the... I have all the alerts
rain.
Set up.
It is just rain.
What I don't like about weather stuff today is TV stations, and I'm sure it's all like some study that was done. You get a lot more ratings if you start calling shit things that don't exist. You know, I appreciate hearing when there's a tornado warning or a thunderstorm warning,
yeah.
A legitimate warning issued
right.
by the Weather Service. But I don't quite understand where they decided at some point it was okay to take up inventing warnings that do not exist, like heavy precipitation warning. There's a lightning warning. There is no such thing as a lightning warning or a heavy precipitation warning. There's thunderstorm warning. There's tornado warning. There's flood warning.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they've invented things. It's like when there's not a real warning that's issued, they come up with one to fill in those spaces. And I think at the end of the day, when all is said and done, it hurts the legitimacy of the real warnings.
Yeah.
Because everything is a warning now.
Yeah.
It's like they followed the path of breaking news where it used to be a thing where you turn on the television and there's probably a generation of people that don't even realize this because it's been like this for so long, but it actually used to mean something. When you turned on the television and it said breaking news, you paid attention. You're like,
yeah.
Oh shit, something's going on. Now it's like cat stuck in the tree and, 4-year-old upset.
breaking news. Mm-hmm. And it's like, the hell? Why is that breaking news?
Right.
It doesn't mean anything anymore. It gets attention, short span, but I think then when there's actually something going on, you're less to, it's like desensitizing.
It is.
Essentially. So that's my rant.
Okay.
There we go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Beth writes in, my name is Beth. I live in New Jersey. I'm a true believer in ghosts and have had only a couple of experiences with them. This is a story. It's not necessarily a ghost story, but an earthling spirit story. My question to you, Jenny, is what is the difference?
Well, let's read the story and find out.
This experience took place in March of 2015. Here's the story. One night, my husband, being out of town, my two sons and I were lying on my bed talking about our cat, who I had to put to sleep in the week before. My youngest son, who was 12 at the time, was telling the story of how we would see the cat's ghost upstairs. I had seen her around a few times myself, so the mood was set in our minds for creepiness after talking about our cat's ghost. After our discussion, it was time for bed, so the boys go off to their room, which is only down a 6-foot hallway. All the lights are out, and I'm ready to go to sleep. As soon as I close my eyes, I feel a presence right next to my bed. It's close enough that I have reached out. I could touch it. I really couldn't see anything, but in my mind's eye, or whatever you want to call it, I was imagining a short being, maybe 3 feet tall, with long arms that dragged on the ground and a round face with a mean mouth. The mouth had jagged teeth. It was kind of like a goblin. It seemed like it was also covered in a sheet or something, like a ghost at Halloween. Because of this creepy feeling, I called out to my kids to see if one of them would lie with me, but they didn't answer me. I said, great, I guess I'll have to try to get to sleep on my own. I proceeded to cover my head with my blankets and eventually went to sleep. In the morning, I awoke and I told my kids what had happened the night before. My oldest son then told me that he had a feeling something was peering out of a hole in our wall in my bedroom right before he walked out of my room that previous night. If you're asking why we have a hole in our wall, well, it's because our home is always under some sort of construction and the hole is a work in progress. The hole's between our bedroom and the bathroom closet. He described what he saw, however. My son and I didn't have much of a chance to discuss it that next morning because we all had to go to work and school. Needless to say, I was creeped out the entire day. Once evening came around, we talked about what we saw. We both described the same thing. He saw a being with a big round head, a mean mouth, and gruesome teeth. He described it as being brownish-green, but I couldn't describe a color. Every time I went into my bedroom the next day, I had such an eerie sensation. If I walked over to that side of my bed, I got horrible chills. I didn't even want to be in the room. That night, I experienced the same scenario. When morning came around, I contacted a psychic friend of mine and asked for a reading. I could see her the following day, thank goodness. I can't remember her exact words, but she told me that it was an earth spirit and that it was not there to harm me. However, it did not belong there. I needed to go. She believes that I brought it into my house. Lucky me. I believe she may have been right. I just lost several pets, which included my cat, two chickens, and a pond full of fish. Chickens were lost to predators. The fish froze in the pond. I think my devastation and my losses was a welcome sign for the unwelcome visitor. The psychic made a drawing of how she pictured it, and it was identical to what both my son and I saw. That night, after my reading, I cleansed my home from top to bottom with the Palo Alto wood and the psychic gave me and cleansed the heck out of my house. Even though I have not seen it since, occasionally, the thought of it enters my mind that it might be around. It was a crazy experience, and I hope to never have it again. Thanks.
So I guess that describes the little weird, like, troll people that we hear about quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard them called earth spirits. That's interesting.
Well, I'm still confused as to what are they if they're not harmful. Are they helpful? Are they like angel type things? Are they like demon type things? Because it sounds, just physically speaking, like a kind of a menacing looking thing. But
maybe they're just there. They just exist.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they're scary looking fish too, mm-hmm. that have like, it's like mounted on, like, oh my God, look at those teeth. And it really could care less about anything. And it's not going to attack. It's just kind of menacing looking.
Sure. But it, you know, we've had all these stories over the years of things that look like little gnomes or whatever running around, and so maybe this is kind of an explanation of that.
That I think is on that path. Mm-hmm. I really do. Thanks for sharing that experience with us. It's interesting that the picture matches up and
Yeah.
Would you keep the picture if you got the picture of it and then hang it up somewhere? Like, hey, this is the weird little thing I found.
No, I think it'd be welcome if you hung its picture on the wall.
It would feel like it's part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
You mean you could like Photoshop it into family photos? You know, it's like, and this is a thing that doesn't really show up on photos very much, but sometimes it does. And we just Photoshopped it in here. Family postcards, Christmas cards.
Yeah.
Go out with that. What is that? Great. That'll make for great holiday conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Michelle writes in, hello, guys. My name's Michelle. This is my family vacation ghost story. My family and I were on a vacation in Port Huron and stayed in cabins. We used to go there every year. It was a traditional spot for us to go since my mom was a kid. It was the last year we were all there and the second to last night, and we had all gone out to eat since it had been raining all day. When we came back from dinner, we all decided we'd play board games since it was too wet to have a fire. We're all sitting in my aunt's cabin, and there were about 10 little cabins in a main big house. We were always in cabin 6, 7, and 8, which we rented out for a week. Anyways, we were sitting in the cabin playing a board game when suddenly we all smelled what smelled like smoke from a campfire. We were confused as to why, since everything was wet. A few minutes later, we then heard what sounded like a boat engine. At this point, we were all confused and curious as to what's going on. My mom and older sister decided they would head down to the beach and figure it out. My sister and mom got to the cabin, too, when my sister suddenly stopped, frozen straight, not mentioning a word to my mom what she is seeing in front of them. My mom then looks forward and noticed what my sister is seeing. My mom turned her head towards my sister to ask if she sees that, and before my mom could finish her sentence, my sister took off running and screamed back to the cabins, with my mom following behind her. They explained to us what they saw, not having enough time to make a story up on my way down either, saying that the walk to the beach wasn't too far from the cabin we were in. What they had seen was a girl with long black hair in a white gown, standing by a wooden swing. They first thought it might have been an older lady in the first cabin, but then realizing no one was in the first cabin till tomorrow, they knew instantly that it was a ghost. We later found out that the ghost was Minnie Gay. The legend is told that she is seen to walk the shores of Port Huron, searching for her lost love, and to try to lure people and lure people into the water with her to kill them. But if you give her the gift of anything, money, flowers, etc., and place it on the gravestone, she won't bother you. We believe that boat engine was probably her love coming back from her. And the smell, or the smoke, was probably the smell from the ship he was on that went down in a bad storm in Lake Huron. Since that experience, we haven't seen her again. It kind of sucks because I'd love to see her and experience that fear and thrill for myself. We don't vacation at the cabins anymore, saying we had some problems with the owners. Anyways, I just want to say thank you for your awesome podcast. I listen to it every day at work, and I love it. Hope this wasn't too long. Thank you. Bye.
So the ring girl has a name.
Yeah, I guess so. Is that what it's based on?
I don't think so. It's just another long, it's a girl with long black hair and a white dress.
Yeah.
It didn't say how creepy she looked, if she looked creepy, but it's interesting.
It is very interesting, and just the idea that she'll go in and kill you in the cabin if you don't give her a Skittles or something.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any deaths associated, or if that's just the legend.
There's probably somebody that died somehow that it was attributed to that.
Sure.
Through legend.
Likely heart attack,
mm-hmm,
or something of that nature. But creepy stuff.
Yeah.
Harper was watching something earlier today, and I don't know what. I think it wasn't like she had free reign of Netflix. She has it on the kid area.
Mm-hmm.
And it was some kid show, like the Halloween episode. And then she came over. She's like, I just watched a Halloween show, and it was so spooky, and there was this girl on there, and she had dark hair and a dead face.
Dead face.
It was all a dead face. She, like, changes her voice as she does it.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, that's good, honey. Yeah. Can you turn on Smurfs? I'm just going to change the subject really quick. It's like, oh.
What show was she watching?
I'm going to guess it was one of the Disney shows with real people.
Okay.
On where it was like somebody had a...
Yeah.
It was probably... Ring-ish, you know.
Like the middle school age, mm-hmm, sitcoms?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think she was watching one of those. So, there you go. Melanie writes in, "Hi, guys. I want to start off how much I love you guys and your podcast. It makes my work day go by a lot faster. I'd probably die of boredom if it weren't for being able to listen to your podcast. So keep up the good work. Anyways, my story isn't anything exciting, and most of it can probably be explained away by most people, but I still feel like there's something hanging around my apartment. Moved into a new apartment in December of 2015. My first month was quiet and consisted of more of am I losing my mind moments. I noticed that doors I had closed were opened or lights I had turned off were on, things like that. And at the end of January, I was lying in bed trying to go to sleep when suddenly the end of my bed dipped as if somebody was sitting down. Figured it was my dog, so I sat up a bit to call her closer to me, but I discovered she was fast asleep in her own bed on the floor next to my bed. Kind of shrugged it off and just thought maybe my mind was playing tricks on me. The next month, my friend was visiting me from Philly, and I was in my bedroom watching TV while she took a shower. After a while, she came into my room with a panicked look on her face and said, Mel, you need to come out here. You really need to come and see this. My heart sank just from the look on her face and tone in her voice. I had no idea what was going on. I walked out into the living room, and her jacket is propped up in the middle of the floor in the living room. Looked as if the jacket was draped over a big traffic cone. My heart was pounding so hard, and I asked her if she did that. She said she didn't, and that she also took my dog into the bathroom with her while she showered, so nobody could have possibly done that. Never experienced something like this before, so unfortunately my first thought wasn't to grab my phone or take a picture or video, but it was to throw something at it. This was the last unexplainable experience I had for a while. Just back to the open doors and lights turning on for the next few months. Earlier this month in September, I experienced another weird thing with my bed. It was about 7 a.m. I was asleep, but I woke up to my bed shaking, as if somebody at the end of my bed just shaking it back and forth. I live in Texas, so it's not like there was an earthquake. Again, I thought it was my dog on my bed, scratching herself, making my bed shake. But once again, when I looked up, she was fast asleep in her own bed. Just closed my eyes and tried to go back to sleep. I think the shaking lasted about 10 seconds before it stopped. I haven't experienced anything else since then, and I think my experiences could easily be explained away, but I still feel like there's something hanging around, even when there aren't doors opening or lights turning back on. I still have moments when I'm walking around and get the overwhelming feeling of somebody watching me or behind me. I know it's nothing exciting. Sorry if it was a little long. Thanks for reading. Thank you guys for what you do.
I'd love to know the bed shaking thing. What causes that when it's not an earthquake or something else and the bed's the only thing that moves? It's like there's something under there that's making it move, and that's just terrifying.
I wonder, is it something that's you know, we always think, oh, it's purposely trying to shake the bed, purposely trying to get attention. Could it also be, you know, we talk about ghosts and they're operating on their own plane of how things were,
mm-hmm.
you know, floors, walls, furniture, everything.
Sure.
Could that possibly have something more to do with just them passing through and going about doing their own thing, and the fact that they're passing through an area where an object is that maybe it wasn't, and then that is causing the shaking, and it's not really an intentional, you know, let's freak them out and shake the bed. I mean, I think you have sometimes demonic things that do this. In that are dark, or even you don't have to be demonic, but I think there is intent sometimes. But I wonder sometimes if it's not intent at all, it's just a product of whatever this is that's operating in its own area.
I think it would have to choose to do that, because otherwise, you know, it's going to run into walls, it's going to run
all
into all kinds of things all the time.
Sure.
And we know they go through walls and they go through mm-hmm. all kinds of stuff. So I would think whatever is doing it is more with intent to do it.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be creepy if eventually, like, there was, like, you know, a carpet gets worn down?
Mm-hmm.
If somehow the ghost is going through the wall, it slowly has, like, a physical effect on the actual existing wall, and there's just eventually, like, this outline of a person that's, like, continually going through the wall.
That would be creepy.
That'd be great. That's a neat idea
mm-hmm.
for painting.
Okay.
People are like, why is there a shadow on your wall? I just thought it'd be fun. 855-853-4802. Our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Amy writes in, hello, I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota. All my life I've had horrible nightmares, ghosts, zombies chasing me, but they were in so much detail to where I could feel the pain from the dreams even after waking up. For example, I was shot in the throat right above the collarbone in one dream, felt the blood come out of my mouth, etc. And after I woke up, in the same spot I was shot in the dream, hurt. And it was hard to talk. It's also interesting that the house I grew up in, which my mom still lives in, and it isn't that old, 1980s, has multiple spirits. One I named Philip. One that I feel is bad, and the ghost of my first cat. First, a bad thing. I never saw it or heard it, but I felt it, watching. It liked to stay by the little hallway upstairs. The hallway would go from the top of the stairs to the bathroom, with my room on the right and my mom's room on the left. Outside my room, on the ceiling, was the entrance to the attic. I've never gone up there, but I would feel this thing watching me take a bath or shower, like it was right on the other side of the curtain. I'd run down the stairs into the basement with my hand on my back to get away from it. After my older sister moved out, I took her room downstairs in the basement. That's where I saw Philip. First, me and a friend were watching TV in the family room down there when we saw a ball of light. Went from the top of the doorway of the stairs and over into my bedroom, and I saw it again another time when I was alone while with the computer down there. After that, I woke up to tiny dancing colored lights above me. I blinked a few times, moved my head over, hoping it was my eyes. We stayed there, swirling around each other. I went back to sleep. Another night I awoke again, but this time saw a man, the middle of his thighs up, standing by my doorway in my closet. He did not move. He was in old English-style clothing, wearing a bowl hat. He was young, maybe 20s or 30s, and I felt no fear. Oddly, I went back to sleep. That was the only time I saw him. He'll flash lights in my face while I'm trying to sleep, and I just have to tell him I'm trying to sleep and to stop. Also in the house, my first cat's ghost has been seen. Me and Oreo were the same age. He died when I was 12. The night before he died, I think he knew. He came and visited each of us at bedtime, even so much as entering my older brother's room, which the cats knew never to cross that threshold, but Oreo did. He went in and jumped on my brother's waterbed. My brother was impressed with Oreo's bravery and let him stay. Not long after, we lost Oreo. One of my friends slept over. She's never been over before. Next morning, she asked if we had another cat besides her tiny little all-black cat. She had seen a big black and white cat sitting by the bathroom door in the middle of the night. Once I had gone upstairs to get something from the kitchen, I knew right where it was. Didn't turn the light on. Saw our other cat, Midnight, by my feet, rubbing against the chair. Thought nothing of it until we went back downstairs and saw her sleeping atop the TV. My mom said she never moved. Every once in a while, we'll feel who we think is a living cat jump onto the bed and walk up along us, only to reach out and pet the cat. Feel to stare. We look and see no cat. Oreo will sometimes visit me in dreams, and every time I cry and take out my camera to take his picture, only to wake up and find no pictures of him. My brother and mom get visits from our dead family members in dreams, always just to check up on us. My uncle visits my brother. My grandparents visit my mom. I just get cats. Now including my second cat, Midnight, who died 2 days after I got married. That's all just at one house. Almost every job I've had and place I've lived have something lurking, even a movie theater around here. Thank you for listening to most of my stories. I could go on and on, Amy.
So cats seem to be very content to stay in that house.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
I think if I was a cat, I'd probably end up staying wherever I was happiest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I'd go and explore all that much. It's going to sit and nap and be happy.
Yeah.
That'd be good. I'd like to be a cat.
Okay. Good to know.
Just thought I'd share that little piece of information. If you had to pick, if you could be an animal.
Uh-huh.
What would you be?
I don't know. I really don't know.
You got to pick an animal.
A bird probably, so I could fly away.
That's it?
Yeah.
Just go up into the sky.
I like the idea of being able to fly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's probably what I'd do.
Okay. There you go. Glad to know.
But like a protected bird, so things can't like kill me.
You'd be very specific on that.
Yeah.
So what type?
Not a hunted bird.
A turkey vulture?
Some kind of songbird that's protected and people have to leave it alone.
Okay. There we go. Now we know.
Okay.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Tim writes in, hello, Tony and Jenny. I wrote in a few months ago about researching a hotel and being stuck in the haunted room against my wishes. It's from a small town outside of St. Louis and visited Branson every summer growing up. Love the atmosphere of that place. Back when I was a kid, maybe 10 or 11, my grandparents used to babysit my sisters and I while our parents worked. Around this time, my great-grandmother moved in with her son, my grandma, my grandpa. She was a nice woman, but kids will be kids, and we annoyed the hell out of her. We'd spy on her or be loud and annoying during her TV shows. I feel bad to this day about it. She was a great woman, after all. Around the time I turned 12 or so, she passed away in my grandpa's living room of a heart attack. About 2 or 3 years later, while my parents were out of town celebrating their anniversary, well, we stayed with my grandparents for a week. I slept on the bed. My sisters had a bed made on the floor. I was struggling to fall asleep when I saw what looked like what you see in movies when you see a ghost, sort of a clear but detailed entity. It looked like my grandma, down to her posture. It walked in and made a slow left turn towards me and my sisters. I pulled the blanket over my face and eventually dozed off. The next day, my youngest sister had mentioned seeing the same thing. As a 10-year-old, I figured she was just saying it to be cool. 13 years later, she hasn't changed her tone. She still sticks to it. 4 years ago, my grandma, who I was close to, had a heart attack in the same house and passed away 3 days later in the hospital. I was absolutely devastated and haven't been the same person since. It hurts to this day. As we went to my grandpa's house to do all the formalities before a funeral, we sat around gathering pictures to display at the funeral. There was one funny picture of my grandma that would have embarrassed her. My grandma was very self-conscious, so what happened when we mentioned this picture? The lights in the living room flickered. I think she was saying, do not use it. Anyways, I eventually moved away. I got a job in Syracuse, New York. Previously, I was stationed at Jefferson Barracks, a haunted National Guard base in St. Louis. I brought my girlfriend, the same one I'd clung tight to all night long in the haunted hotel room, home for the first time. We went to my grandpa's for dinner one night, and he said, hey, Timmy, give Amy the tour. And the one thing about my grandpa's house is that it's always unbearably hot. While showing her around, we got to my great-grandma's room. It was ice cold. Not sure if it means anything or not. But both my girlfriend and I found it extremely unsettling. Sorry if it was long. I have since become an EPP, and I absolutely love it. If you haven't been there yet, go to Lambert's in Springfield. What's more fun than a restaurant that throws hot rolls at people? Not sure if it's still, but they still do that. I'm sure Tony would enjoy seeing a person take a hot roll to the face. Also, if you ever need a late night Walgreens run, apparently a shadow person haunts a 24-hour Walgreens in Springfield. There you go.
You can go to Lambert's, I kid you not, like
we've tried
a Tuesday between lunch and dinner in the middle of not tourist season, and there's still a 2-hour wait.
Yeah. We have attempted it a few times.
Yeah.
And every time it's like, oh, sorry, wait. So we have yet to get there. Maybe someday we'll strike gold and be able to get in there. Which it's hard to know what Walgreens. I think there's more than one 24-hour Walgreens.
Yeah, there probably is, except I know on the Walgreens down here, it says the closest 24-hour one is in Springfield and only has one address listed.
Oh, maybe there is just maybe. Okay.
So maybe it is just one.
Start wandering around the Walgreens aimlessly. What are you doing? Looking for your ghost.
Yeah.
What?
You'd probably get somebody up there to talk to you about it, I bet.
I bet the clerks know.
Yeah.
Especially if someone else knows outside of it. It's probably well known. That'd be interesting. I'll make a point of doing that at some point.
You do that.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Amanda writes in, hello, I've been binge listening to your show while I work and I love it. I've recently heard a few episodes in a row where people have written or called about paranormal experiences in hotels and about being visited in their dreams. So I've decided to write in about an experience I've had that combines these two things. I should start by telling you that I have very vivid dreams. Sometimes they're so real that days later I will have to ask people if certain things happened or if it was a dream. There have also been several occasions where I've had a dream about something and then it will come true or it had happened to someone else in real life just a day or two before without my knowledge. Yet I dreamed of it happening before they had told me about it. I've always been very interested in dreams, and I even began to research lucid dreaming and astral projection. However, I became discouraged from getting too involved in all of that because I had read about people seeing shadow figures while trying to lucid dream and reported that they did not seem friendly. This scared me, and I haven't tried to mess with that stuff ever since. Anyway, onto my story. Last summer, I was on a business trip and had to stay at a hotel for a week. First day of the trip ended with me having a horrible migraine. I'm very prone to migraines and have at least one a week, sometimes for several days at a time. When on this day, I ended up checking into the hotel, going straight to my room and falling asleep without even unpacking my bag or changing my clothes. I had a dream of waking up in the hotel room and going into the bathroom to take a shower. Everything was normal, but the bathroom and shower, except there was a small drawer pulled out of the wall below the shower head that contained shaving supplies. There was an old bar of soap and a brush that men would use to lather the soap, and there was also several different kinds of razors. In my dream, I was inspecting these items, and then I found an old rusted knife. It was at this time that my alarm clock went off and I had to get up. I still had the migraine, but I got up and proceeded to get ready for my day by starting off with a shower. The bathroom was just like it. It was in my dream, except there wasn't a drawer full of shaving supplies. However, as I was washing my hair, I noticed small scratches on the wall. They were about eye level, and they seemed to have a distinct pattern. There were three of them. They started off as a light scratch, traveling downward and ending in a deep, pointed indentation. They looked as if someone had stabbed the wall with a knife. I instantly had a flashback of the knife in my dream and became very scared to be in that hotel room. I took pictures of the scratches and got ready for work as quickly as I could, and then went down to the lobby of the hotel to meet my coworkers. I explained to them what I saw and about the dream I had. I showed them the pictures. They agreed that they looked like knife marks. We proceeded to try to find any kinds of information or murders or assaults that may have occurred in the hotel, but didn't find anything. We even joked that I was staying in the murder room. I ended up staying the entire week in the room, although I slept with a light on every night. Never experienced anything else and didn't have any other disturbing dreams, although I did have the same migraine for the entire trip. In a final effort to learn anything about the room, as I was checking out, I asked the woman at the front desk if anyone had been murdered or assaulted in the room I was staying in. I even showed her the pictures I had taken of the wall. She said she wasn't aware of anything like that, but I could ask the head of housekeeping because she has been here forever. It didn't seem that important, so I just dropped it. I can't say that anything paranormal has happened. Maybe I just had a weird dream, and there was just so happened to be some well-placed scratches on the bathroom wall that ended up fueling my imagination. Although I've heard that paranormal activity can cause migraines, I'm not even sure I can say my week-long migraine was a result of anything like that because I have chronic migraines, or maybe I'm unaware that I'm constantly surrounded by a ghost since I've been unable to get a medical examination for the pain. I'm sorry to say I have no longer have the pictures of the scratches on the wall. They were on my phone, and I deleted them long ago. I do have another possible ghost story, but I'll save that for another time. I love the show. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
I think something happened in the hotel room and the staff just can't say.
Yeah.
Because what are they going to say? Oh, yeah, there's somebody killed in the room that you're in.
But don't worry. We just turned the mattress over.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably, I would take it there's definitely something there, and that's a sensitivity that's being picked up or that is picking that up. Be nice to know that, though.
It does make you wonder, though, if the migraines are from other paranormal things that she runs into, or it's probably, in actuality, a combination of both.
Sure.
You know, paranormal and not paranormal things that cause it, but it makes you wonder how often is it something paranormal.
That'd be confusing.
Yeah.
As to know, is this something paranormal that's causing this, or is it just another migraine, you know?
Right.
I don't know if that's a gift I'd want.
No.
Thanks for sharing. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Miguel writes in, I just want you guys to know that I really love your show. I listen to it a lot. I wrote to you guys before, but I never heard it. Anyway, I'm going to rewrite my story. Here you go. Before I start with my story, I just want to share with you guys about a place I used to live at the time. I used to live in my grandmother's restaurant back in the Philippines. And this house is an old two-story house. The front First floor is a restaurant, and the second floor is a karaoke living room area. In the back, there's rooms on the first and second floor. So now with the actual story, when I was younger, probably I was 6 or 7 years old, I was very sick at the time, and my mom, my grandmother, and a few of my family members and I were watching TV in one of the rooms on the first floor. And for some reason, I decided to look out the door, since I was the closest one by the door, and I saw the lady outside on the second step of the stairs. I asked my grandmother who that lady was on the stairs, and my grandmother looked and, of course, saw no one. I looked over again and pointed to where she was, and still able to see her. I told my grandmother that she was there, standing, and I described to my grandmother what the lady was doing. She was mocking my grandmother, and how she was smiling while mocking my grandmother. After that incident, we just kept watching TV. Then on top of the TV, there's a crucifix. When I looked up at the crucifix, there's a black mass covering the cross. Just decided to shake it off, knowing it was nothing. When it was time for bed, my grandmother decided to let me sleep on the couch on the second floor, where the living room is. I told her that I was scared. So she said, "You'll be okay." And I agreed. Fast forward to 2005, they decided to take the stairs out where I saw the lady. They found letters from the lady's suitor back in the day. Anyway, that was my story. Hopefully I'll get to hear sometime. It's another detail to that lady in my story. When I saw her, she was like brown in color. She's wearing old Philippine clothing, and I can't see anything from the waist down, and her hair is in a bun.
Go.
I think you could blame him seeing paranormal things on being sick, but I think sometimes that is actually because you're sick, you see some paranormal stuff. You know, it's not hallucinations. It's more so you're not feeling the greatest. Things are going to show up.
Sure. So how people sometimes just say it's happening because of your brain. It's
sure.
Overheated. It's a hallucination, mm-hmm. And it's not a real ghost. But sometimes maybe it is a real ghost and it's showing up because maybe you're getting closer to that edge.
Yeah.
Or the other side.
If you're that sick.
Sure. Sure. I could see that. It's hard to know either way, but I mean, it's like when folks are you know, you hear very commonly in, you know, elderly homes, in hospice, you know, care centers and things of that nature, where people are right on the edge, mm-hmm. And then sometimes it's written off as being, oh, it's a hallucination. But sometimes the information and the people and things that are showing up are just a little bit too real and know a little bit too much that otherwise would be impossible to just be a hallucination.
I wonder if his family believed him after they found the buried letters or whatever.
I don't know. Adds a little more validity.
Mm-hmm. It does.
You know? Thanks for the story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Victor writes in to us. And Victor says, well, I don't have much to tell, but I tell it. It started in my sophomore year in high school when I got interested in the supernatural. I built an altar in my bedroom and started using it as my place of worship. Nothing happened that year, but my junior year is when I really started noticing some changes. I didn't realize this until now, but during that year, my teacher started noticing that my practice in Wicca, which is the religion that I was associated with, was affecting my behavior. And became this glooming, dark person that no one recognizes. I was angry all the time, and I was feeling depressed. Part of it was because my dad was abusive, and I think most of my practice in Wicca played a part in it. I didn't experience anything paranormal, but the environment that I was in made it unpleasant for me. I think it was more of the energy that surrounded me and fed off the negativity that was produced whenever me and my dad and stepmom would get into an intense argument. Felt like I was in hell, and I could feel it. When I left my dad's during my senior year and moved in with a friend, and the nightmare, it was over. A few months later, I slipped back into the hell that I was in while living with my dad. I believe that energy, or the entity, that dark force I may not know about, followed me to my friend's house. Me and my friend would at times get into fights and I'd feel depressed, etc. There were also times that I thought about killing myself. Today I no longer feel that way or have any of those negative that plagued me. This is because I chose to practice my religious stuff at my grandparents' farm. And since then, that dark force has never followed me again, and I intend to keep it that way. I never knew how I went from being a sweet person to a dark person and then back into a sweet person again, even though I'm still practicing Wicca. But I do know that since I left that dark force or entity, prefer to call it, from my grandparents' farm, things have gotten better. I don't really practice Wicca that much like I used to, but I do some of my rituals whenever I go to my grandparents' farm. Fast forward to the present, I did on several occasions have dreams about the farm, and it seems that the whole focus and energy is centered on a piece of land. Part of it because I declared it a sacred place, but still wonder why it's so special. Also, whenever my grandparents go overseas, the farm would remain intact despite all the storms and pests and rodents that cause damage to homes. I feel that someone or something is watching over the farm. Well, that's my ghost story. Before I forget, there's one more thing I should mention. One time I dreamt that on the same day that me and my grandparents were at the farm, we were burying a tree stump, and yes, we actually did burn that tree stump. Same night, I had a dream that same day, the next morning, of a shadowy figure appearing right there in the form of the stump where we were burning. I couldn't make out the details, but I did see little horns on both sides of its head. Then I woke up. I don't know what it is, but it seems to be living at the farm. I could go on and on about this, but I'll stop for now.
It sounds like something not good is at the farm, but it's interesting that it doesn't allow anything to tear the farm up.
Seems like there's kind of a variety of things that are possibly there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like some doorways are open and things are coming and going. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I'm getting out of that. Thank you for the story and sharing that experience with us. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help us stay on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person. Get access to all of our EPP bonus episodes up there. GhostPodcast.com. Check that out. Lots of stuff there for you to binge away on at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.